Good afternoon, Mr. Clark. How are you?
Hey, Barry, how are you, man? I tell you, August is one of those months. It's always busy, but it's always great to talk to you and good to talk to the community.
You too, man. Yep. A lot of y'all know that we had a long and illustrious career in a research university, and we still both live around a university town. And this time of the year, things get a little crazy when the students come back,
crazy. A little crazy.
The traffic patterns that we've gotten used to over the summer are all disrupted again. Oh. It's impossible to get anywhere at lunchtime, and you know, all those kinds of things.
And the university gets bigger and bigger every year, so yeah, it gets worse and worse.
It does.
New normal.
But we're not here to talk about the kids.
No, we're not.
Well, just the kids at heart, I guess.
Yeah.
It comes right down to it. But I think we got a pretty good, fully packed episode today with a lot of good information.
I agree with you. This is a lot of good stuff. Some of the stuff sort of hit me in the last few weeks, but then there are things I think that are just timely.
Yeah. So. For sure. For sure. So I'm just going to start us off here.
Okay.
With our first subject today is something I learned about, I guess, maybe a week or two ago. I had this terrible habit of I get up in the morning, I get up really, really early, and I spend at least half an hour just surfing through YouTube, finding fun and interesting things. And there was a neat little thing from Apple. I think it was the Apple support channel where they were just showing some tips and tricks with the iPhone. And one of them was medication tracking. And I thought this might have a lot of appeal or a lot of use for our audience, either for the loved ones that they're helping take care of or themselves, honestly. Did you know that your iPhone can actually help you track your meds?
I've heard of nice features on that, but I'd like to hear more. So tell me, how do you invoke that?
So here's the deal. What you do is you get your iPhone, you open it up, and you go to the health app. It's all automatically installed on most everybody's iPhone, but you can find the health app and you go in, tap browse and medications. And from there, there's some dialogues that'll just help you add your prescriptions to it. If you're in the US, you can even snap a picture of the bottle label and it'll go ahead and fill in and everything for you.
Well, that's
now, here's where it gets kind of cool, too. You can actually pick the color and the shape of each pill. So that little blue oval, that giant horse pill, or that tiny white one that always runs under the counter, it's the ones that you have will end up in the app looking just like the real thing. So from there, your iPhone just kind of becomes the world's politest nag. It's, hey, man, it's time for that pill. Just letting you know. So you can take, if it pops up with a notification about time for taking a particular pill, you take it. You can log it as taken. You can log it as skipped. And if you got an Apple Watch, you can do all that from your wrist. That's kind of cool,
really,
I think.
That's really nice.
No doubt. It even has like this critical alerts function that breaks through do not disturb. If you have do not disturb turned on, because it'll come on through that because, you know, apparently your blood pressure doesn't care that you're asleep. You know, you need to deal with that, whatever it is. But, it's not perfect. There's no refill tracking, and some folks say the alerts could be a little louder, but, you know, it sure beats sticky notes on the fridge or that classic game of, did I take the pill or did I just remember that I took the pill? I know I do that a lot when I'm taking one particular one before bed. You kind of get into that muscle memory habit thing of taking it at a certain time where you're doing something. Sometimes I just can't remember whether I did or not. So I think this would be kind of cool and give you that ability to look back and say, oh, yeah, I actually did take that thing.
That's kind of cool. That's actually pretty neat.
I thought it was kind of slick. And I think you were telling me that you learned some stuff about the Apple Watch update with blood oxygen.
Yeah, there's some really exciting news now for Apple Watch users, and I'm one of those guys. You know, we've been missing a popular feature for the last few months that Apple's going through. It's with two software updates, so watchOS 11.6.1 and iOS 18.6.1. So the latest updates that just came out very recently, they restored the blood oxygen monitoring function back to their watches. And if you remember this, Apple had this removed because they got into a patent dispute with another company.
Yeah.
For many users, especially older adults, that was a big loss. I mean, whether that was, it was good news when it's bad. It remains one of the most helpful wellness tools you can do on the Apple Watch now. So let's talk about what that actual feature does.
I was going to say, why does that
actually, the oxygen app actually measures the saturation of your blood called SpO2. It's a very simple term. It tells you how your lungs are delivering oxygen to your bloodstream. And it's a healthy range, typically between 95% and 100. Mm-hmm. And there's some variance on normal, you know, depending on who you are. So talk to your doctor about that. Again, we're not doctors. We just sort of talk about it here on the podcast. And the Apple Watch kind of uses infrared and infrared sensors on it, on the back of the watch, combined with some other hand sensors to check, non-invasively check those levels in about 15 seconds. Why does that matter? Well, it's a really interesting way to check your overall health and wellness. Really? So it can alert you to something that's unusual. For older adults and their caregivers, especially very valuable because it can flag a potential issue before they're feeling any issues. So problems like sleep apnea or early signs of conditions that affect your heart or your lung capacity. Maybe there's a medical grade diagnosis tool that can really help you figure out the next layer, but it's an alert to let you know something's wrong. So for example, what our users notice is that they're consistently down in their oxygen levels. It may be a prompt to have a conversation with their doctor. Maybe they're having onset with lung disease. Maybe they're having some issue with their medication. Maybe there's some early onset about something going on in their lives. This can alert you that. It's not the end all be all, but it's very important to pay attention to it, especially if you're doing it in a trend and the watch automatically alerts you that, hey, something's different. So if you have a watch, all you have to do is make sure you update to both of these updates. They're out right now. So if you watch OS 11.6.1 and iOS 18.6.1, we'll get the feature back turned back on, and you can use it then to get your rate and to monitor it over time. So really cool feature that's back. It's been gone for almost a year, more than a year. So it was really nice to use. So just a reminder for caretakers, if you have somebody wearing a watch, make sure they're updated so that they can use that feature.
Yeah, and it ended up being like something like a patent dispute where somebody had invented it before Apple brought it to the Apple Watches, and they
were disputing had to work out they were in some, contact, some and so the judge said they can't use it in the watch. And so it happened just when I bought my watch, which is a Mac OS watch 9, mm-hmm. turned off the feature, even though the app was there, would tell you, hey, we can't use it now because of the dispute. So it's back now. So I did both of those, and it's back up.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, really, you guys know that we're kind of Apple heads anyway, but one thing that I really enjoy about their equipment and their software is that they do really have a focus on health.
On health as a
and
benefit.
Fitness in general and things, yeah. and having tech that'll help you with that kind of thing. And I'm just always impressed by all the stuff that they've done. And I hear all kinds of rumors about things that they're adding as new pieces of hardware come out. And I'm always excited to see what they've been able to pull off. But it kind of reminds me about one of the things that's been there a while, and I think a lot of folks don't know about and actually could help save their life, is setting up emergency contacts on your phone.
Really important.
Yeah, it is. And it's quick. It's easy. It might take a minute to set the thing up. If you don't have one of those set and you're interested in how to do it, it's fairly simple. So again, let's go back over to the health app that we were talking about earlier. We tap on your profile picture in that top right corner and then go down to medical ID. From there, you can hit edit. And you can scroll down to emergency contacts. You tap the little green plus sign, you pick somebody from your contacts, and you assign their relationship to you. It could be spouse, it could be parent, it could be friend. It could be the guy who always bails you out of trouble. You just never know, but you just pick that. And now here's the magic. If something happens and someone taps emergency on your lock screen, say you have had a car accident or you had some sort of medical event and you fall out, and that someone who comes up to help you out, maybe a first responder or maybe just a citizen, they can grab your phone, hit emergency on your lock screen, and they'll see your medical ID and they'll know who to call, even if the phone is locked. And a cool thing too they've added is even if you ever dial 911 from your iPhone or your Apple Watch, your emergency contacts automatically get a text with your current location. So, I mean, that's just slick. And it's a great way of using that tech that's in your pocket almost every day to kind of keep an eye out for you. It's simple, it's free, and it's one of those features that you hope nobody ever has to use, but hey, you'll be glad if you did.
Yeah, and if you're a caretaker and you're looking at someone who has a loved one who carries one of these devices around, you want to make sure that they fully function that way. So,
for sure.
So yeah, this is a really good idea. I think everybody should do it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I haven't gotten into the detail on it yet, but I seem to remember there are ways to put your allergies in there and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can put a whole profile that describes the things that you have. So I know one of the things I do is I carry a medic alert that says I have lymphedema. So you can do something like that with that emergency contact to let people know you have some standard conditions, or for people who are anemic or maybe have tendencies for objections not in one joint or another, things like that you can put in, and it's really helpful to do. So
I think it's a pretty standard thing in the first responder community to just know to look for that kind of thing up front.
Yep.
That saves them too at the same time. Did you know that you can share health data between people? Like, so if you've got health data on your phone and you wanted to share it with, share with your doctor for that matter, or share it with a loved one, did Apple's built that into?
They have built that in, and I've been very curious about making that available to some of my people I can take care of too. And you not only can do that on iPhones too, there are ways of doing it on Android too.
Yeah.
But the iPhone way is pretty simple. And guess what? It's back to that health app again. That does a lot of great things. And one of these things is the ability to share. Mm-hmm. So, it's not as hard as you think it is. I want to steal your thunder a little bit, Barry, but,
go for it.
You can pick a contact. You go to share with someone is the item you look for. You hit pick a contact and you send them an invite, and they have to confirm. But once they do, they start getting your health data on a regular basis. And I think you can control what you send.
That's what I hear too. Yeah, you kind of pick and choose. You may not want everybody to know about everything that you got going on, but so you got options. So why bother? If you got an aging parent, or you're the one.
The more information
about,
you can get about them, the better. And
yeah,
of course, you don't want to overload or invade privacy. But knowing things like activity and heart rate and mobility, and even if they get on a cycle or track or something like that, you can stay aware of what they're doing, and it can make you have some peace of mind and keep you from worrying.
Yeah, I mean, you would think about if you had your parent wearing an Apple Watch, it'd be nice just to be able to look down and get an idea of are they moving around? How many steps are they getting during the day? Are you seeing a change in what's normal? And it might just give you a heads up that something's going on way before anything else might not. The good thing too about it, it's private. Everything's encrypted. Apple can't see it. Strangers can't snoop on it. It's just you and the people that you trust, really.
Yeah.
So cool. We like to think about it like in a built-in accountability buddy, but this one lives in your pocket and they don't roll their eyes when you skip the gym though. Even though I send some of my health data to my daughter, and she just kind of gets annoyed, I think, every time I complete a workout and it pops up on her phone, but who knows? Yeah. She does the same thing with me.
And like I said, you doesn't have to be Apple, just Apple phones. You can do it on Android too. We're going to throw something in the show notes that gives you some listings of how to do that. It's very simple. It has something to do mainly with Google Health and Google Fit, or Samsung Health if you have a phone, a Samsung phone. So you can do some of the same things. So take some time, look at those features, see if they're worthwhile to you. The other thing that's really cool, and I know a lot of us use this, is that, my chart is all over the nation as far as the health data for the U.S. And you can share my chart data as well. And we're going to throw those in the show notes on how to do that too.
Very cool. That's kind of the de facto standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
My chart's the thing for moving that data.
You just
data
go
around
to share the records, and there's a family, friends and family access, and you can add people to that. So
cool. That is very cool. Wow, man, there's a lot going on in the health area there that you can use technology to help you out.
Well, we're talking about health, the other thing is death and taxes, right? So I got taxes stuff now. So
speaking of taxes.
Yes, really important. On September 30th, the IRS is going to not take paper checks anymore.
Really?
Now, for you and I, that's not a problem. We probably pay ours with a credit card or some sort of item. But for my mother, it's a huge change because all she wants to do is pay her stuff with a check.
I got a few relatives that are in that same boat. Yeah.
Yep. I bet you are too. So there's something you got to do and you got to know about it. You can set up your tax returns now. You can do this right now. Mm-hmm. So that you can, when you e-file, you can do it with a form. So go to that section and you can create an account that basically lets you do IRS direct pay. You want to do this for the fact that if you want your return, you can set it up. So there's a procedure for that. Or if you want to actually pay something, paying them is what you use that direct pay for. So yeah. If you got people doing this, investigate it now. Talk to your tax preparer now. Don't wait till the season when everybody's trying to get everything done. And go through some of these rules. And again, I threw some steps in the show notes that you can go through each one of those items. There's some the ways to do each kind of thing. So if you want to file your taxes, there's a way to do that now. If you want to file with your refund, after your file refund is sent, there's a particular thing you need to worry about. Payments have to be handled in a certain way. And if you want to do things like future IRS benefits or payments, there's actually an ID.me that you need to set up as well. So Time to investigate it now when it's not a pressure. And because this is definitely going to happen, that September 30th is the last day they will check a check from anyone, a paper check from. So you need to be aware of that.
That's really good points. And you know me, I have a disdain for paper checks anyway. And I can go ahead and attest that I tried this ahead of time. I have to do some estimated taxes. I send those in every quarter. And I went through, set up my ID.me account. And if for anybody wants to know what that is, it's kind of like the government has decided to create a login service or an identity management service for a lot of their different departments or different things that the public might want to interact with. So it's basically getting you a user ID and a password to get into government systems. And it's kind of handy because you can use it across government systems, but the IRS is one of the first ones that I've seen that
Social Security does that too.
Social Security, exactly. It's the same there. And it works really well. Your account info in and just having a estimated tax payment come from that account works really easily. I think it's actually very slick. You know, a lot of government websites get a bad reputation, but this is really well done. And I think it's worth getting into early, like Bobby said, before they do some cutoff work. So yeah, it's worth paying attention to. And that also reminds me that we mentioned a lot that we put things in the show notes. And if you're in a podcast client, a lot of times you can go down to info and you'll see our show notes. But the real detailed stuff is actually in a Google Doc out on the internet. But there's a link to it in our show notes that where you can go and you can see a lot of detail on a lot of these subjects that we talk about. And it's a long running document that actually has the show notes back from when we first started. Most of the, all of the most recent episode information will be at the top of the file, and you'll see what's, you know, the most recent stuff there, but you can scroll down and find information from a lot of our past episodes. So it was like a one-stop shop for all the info that we've been talking about over the last year. Speaking of it, I think we're about at our 1 year anniversary, aren't we?
Yeah, we're pretty close. So that's coming up next month, I think.
Wow.
So it's interesting to know 12 months has gone by.
Man, it's crazy. It doesn't seem like that long, does it?
You know, one of the things we need to do is if you like what you're hearing and you want to continue this, please give us a review, give us a like, you know, tell other people about us so we can build a community and make sure that we grow this community. And if you want to be notified about things, especially on YouTube, then make sure you turn on those notifications so that you can be alerted when we come out with things. So always growing the community, always making sure that we're doing the case. And if you let us know things, we'll talk about them. Hey, we're all in the same boat together. So if you send something, you got a question or you've got an issue at hand, we're going to do our best to answer.
100%. So one thing I wanted to do today was to give a shout out to a friend of mine his name is Barry Jones, and he was the first, he has the first podcast that I was ever on. And this was over a year or two back, and he runs a pretty cool techie thing called the Carolina Code Conference. And let me see if I can stand up a little bit.
Yeah, I see the t-shirt. It looks good.
Yeah. It's he gets a lot, he gets hundreds of people together every year in Greenville, South Carolina, and it's all coders, programmers, systems guys, all talk, doing supremely geeky things. And it's very cool conference. And he, every year he puts out a new t-shirt that has some code on the front of it. You can't see it very well on here, but it is some popular song from the past written in code. So I think this one was Smash Mouth's All-Star, I believe, was the one he did. But anyway, Barry puts on a really great conference, and I attended this past week on, I think it was on Saturday. I think he had it for a couple of days, but I got to be there for Saturday, and it was really good, and a lot of good, real deep tech, and just great to give him a shout out, and hope if you get a chance, if you hear anything about that and you're technically inclined, pay attention. I think they're also at the CarolinaCodeConference.com. So I think you can find them. Or just Google Carolina Code Conference and you'll find it.
Cool. I bet you had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was trying to think, you got any tech gadgets or anything you want to recommend this week?
Tech gadgets. I've been having fun with the Apple betas that have come out, and they've had some nice things in them. Some of them are health related. And making it easier for things like now the iPad beta that's out has a call app on it, which is kind of cool. And it has a slightly different interface. So if you're prepping your loved one for changes in your interface, you might want to get on the public beta and take a look.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty solid. You know, there's just little things like that I've seen out there that have pretty cool. There's also a lot of great talk about some of the preventative things we're talking about. Some of the stories we talked about today, you know, kind of came from conversations I heard from other people. So it's fun to see there are quite a lot of people in our boat, and we're not the only place where you can have this conversation, but almost all the tech podcasts that I talk about now seem to realize that there are people in the caregiving row, and they start talking about things like that. So
yeah,
for sure. A lot of interesting talk. Year ago, I don't know if I noticed it as much. Maybe it's because we've been doing it a year, I'm noticing it now, but it's there's a lot of good conversations. Great podcast you need to get to that really help you with it. And,
there's a lot of good stuff.
I got some response from our last podcast about the caretaker syndrome.
Yep.
A lot of people responded to that. At least when they saw me, they talked about how that helped them. So if you haven't had a chance to hear that last one episode and you're feeling a little put upon as a caregiver, here's a way to get a little affirmation and let you know that they're not the only one. You're not alone in this item. So we want to make sure that caregivers deserve to get all the help we can. And that's why one of the reasons why we do this podcast, right, is to try to make sure we're helpful to them. We're as helpful as possible.
I believe that was episode 22. If you're looking for it, and I believe caregiver syndrome is in the title at some point in there.
Yep, this is true.
Oh, this I got it. I can't leave without talking about this one. And we mentioned this thing about, I don't know, it's maybe 6 months ago, but we were talking about TVs and elderly parents and ran into something this past week. So my mother-in-law's place, where she is in assisted living, The in-house TV cable situation was AT&T when we got there, and it's okay. It was fairly reasonable, and there wasn't a lot of HD channels or anything like that. But you know, there was a handful of channels that worked out pretty well, and she was able to get what she wanted to see. Well, we heard rumors over the last couple of weeks that they were changing out their TV system, and they did. They changed out to Spectrum, but there was no communication around it. They just came in one day and they changed out the TVs and had them handed new remotes out to people. And there's been quite an uproar in the facility that I can't find nobody can find anything to watch. They can't find their old stations. And, you know, I'm not going to beat up on the facility. I know it's got to be hard to do this, but look out for this. If you hear rumors in a facility that they're going to change out the TV system, get ahead of that. Figure out what they're, you know, find out what they're changing to. If you can help it, be there when they do it. Because my wife and I spent a couple hours this weekend going through all the new channels, picking out the favorites that our mother-in-law would like, putting them in a place where it's easy to get to, walking through how to use that remote, making notes. And so far it's worked great, but I can imagine that if you were there and, you know, maybe you didn't have that many people coming to check in on you, that could be kind of debilitating.
Can be disconcerting. So I don't know about you, but my mom has specific shows she has to see. at those particular times. One of the things about Spectrum that caught me early, and I don't know if we talked about it earlier, if we had, maybe we're repeating a little bit, but Spectrum has a different setup, especially if you have Amazon TVs. So there is no Spectrum app for the Amazon television.
I see.
There is for Apple. There is for Roku, but not for Amazon. You have to buy something called Xumo, X-U-M-O. It is a box that they sell. You can buy it for a certain amount of money. I think it's $50. Or you can put it on some sort of thing where you pay for it like $5 until it's paid off. It's a streaming box that has the Spectrum app on it with a new remote. So if you're in that situation, you may want to, and they're moving to Spectrum, definitely look at that. That solved a lot of my mom's problems because I could get to the Spectrum app and it's easier for her to navigate. Just a tip.
Yeah.
So yeah. When you said that, I wonder if they moved the Spectrum, because this is definitely one of the problems.
If you get a chance, throw a link in the show notes about that. And
I will. I will. We'll make sure. It's very, you'll read a lot of extra things about how you can get the Spectrum app on and forget all of that. Get the Xumo.
Get the box.
Streaming box, and it's much easier to deal with.
Luckily, the TV that she had connected wasn't a smart TV. So it was just, it wasn't that big of a...
Then you plugged in and it just worked.
Yeah, just plugged in, it works. And that all worked out pretty good. So that was great. One pleasant surprise is that with every room, they not only changed out the set-top box, but they brought in a router and an access point for every room. So I was, but they didn't tell anybody about it. It just said, we're changing out the TVs. And I just happened to look down. I was like, that looks like a Wi-Fi router. And I turned it around. Sure enough, it is. I got the access point name and the password off of it, hooked up to it. And this thing is getting like 600 megabit down and about 450 up. I mean, I think it must have been just part of the whole package when they were changing it. But that actually turned out really well. The AT&T older system that they had, you could barely get a megabit. And even then it was spotty. So this thing is a beast. We had actually put a T-Mobile hotspot in her room to handle two things. She had a little laptop that she would check Facebook from time to time, which she doesn't do as much as she used to, and a Frameo picture frame, an electronic picture frame that the kids and the grandkids and stuff would send photos to over the internet. And she loves that thing. And that's the most important network connected thing in her room. And so we had done that with a T-Mobile hotspot, but this is going to have us the ability to eliminate that because her internet connection now in her room is better than the one I have at the house to do podcasting. I mean, it's amazing how fast that stuff is. But yeah, that was kind of disconcerting. I'd heard that they were doing something, and I kind of had been watching, looking at it sideways and thinking, yeah, we're going to have to go over there and do something as soon as this is done. And sure enough, we did, but it all turned out good. So always something to change in technology.
Always something. Yeah. Got to watch for it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I think that about does us for today. And as Bobby said, please help us grow the community. Tell your friends, send some links if you can, if you get a chance, please rate us and tell your friends to subscribe if you can. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications so that you will, you'll know the next time that we have a new episode that pops up. And we put a lot of small clips from this podcast out on YouTube as well. And hitting that notification bell will get you notification whenever we put out the clips too. Sometimes I know you don't have a half an hour or an hour to listen to us maybe, or if you're watching for YouTube, you may want to see just chunks of it. So feel free to hit that notification bell and you'll find out when our shorts pop up too.
Yep. Could be a way for you to say, oh, I need to listen to that episode.
There you go. For sure. All right. Well, thanks everybody. And we will see you next time on Care, Tech, and Tips.
Yeah. Bye everybody.